Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
All right, you guys, welcome. Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and my dear friend, Marty Greer, is here again. And we have some fun conversation for you tonight. And I'm in Oregon, and Marty's in Wisconsin, where it's super snowy. So I'm feeling sad for her, and she's not feeling sad for me.
No, and I don't feel sad for me. I mean, I made the choice to live in Wisconsin. It was a deliberate choice.
It's a choice.
The snow is beautiful. There's kids out playing and making snowmen and snow forts and snowballs and, you know, shoveling and all this stuff. But as long as I have somebody that does my sidewalks, I'm good.
Because I'm frankly maybe that's where it. I failed. I didn't have anybody do my sidewalks. All right. Well, that,
well,
that could
you know,
be.
I worked a full day. I'm not coming home and shoveling. So if I spay an extra dog, I can pay for somebody to shovel my sidewalks and my driveway. And, you know, it works out. It's all good.
It's fine. It's all good. You know, everybody has their love, their passion, right? Mine happens to not be snow. That's all.
It is beautiful. It's absolutely
sure
beautiful.
Is.
The kids
sure
have fun.
Is. It is super beautiful for me to watch it happen over there.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
I got it.
And it happens in the mountains here in Oregon, and I watch it in the mountains. I'm like, it's so beautiful over there. Okay, so we're going to talk about, I'm not sure how kitty litter boxes got to be our fun topic for tonight, but that's what we got.
Well, I think it's a very important topic. Fun might be a stretch, but important and all the other stuff that goes with it. I mean, if you live with a cat, you either have to let them outside, which has some hazards, or they use the litter box. And there's a lot of nuances to litter boxes that I think we can be helpful for people.
Excellent. Well, we've kind of touched on the whole litter box training briefly over the course of last year, but we're going to do a deep dive because some topics just need a little extra something. So kitty litter boxes, what do we put in them? Is there a special kitty litter? Is it just regular old like kitty litter, or is there special medicinal kitty litter? Like I saw Martha Stewart say something about fancy kitty litter. Talk to me.
Yeah, all of the above.
Okay.
So first, I think the basic premise is the most common behavior problem that we see in cats is failure to reliably use the litter box.
Okay.
Which is why a lot of cats end up out of their happy homes. They don't use the litter box reliably. So people open the door and boot them out. They take them to the shelter. They euthanize them. They
that
do something with them.
Wrong.
Yeah, well, but it happens. Unfortunately, it happens. So it's a pretty common behavior problem in the cat. Second, to that is biting and scratching, but number one is always the litter box issue. In dogs, it's biting. In cats, it's litter boxes. So I think it's really important that we talk about this. And there's nuances to litter. There's nuances to litter boxes, litter box location. So there's a whole bunch of nuances here. So we can kind of go down different paths, and I don't want to get stuck in one and have
Got
people
it.
Think that we're not going to cover everything. There are two resources that I'm going to give people. One is Patricia McConnell has an amazing book called Fastidious Feline. She wrote it a number of years ago, but it is a very good, reliable source of things that you can do to improve your cat's litter box use.
Okay.
And secondly is the Ohio State University's Indoor Cat Initiative. If you have to type the in front of Ohio State, because remember, they are the Ohio State Universities, if there's another one. And they have some really good information on their Indoor Cat Initiative about a lot of things. Most importantly, I think, because of the frequency of problems that we see with litter box use is on litter boxes. So they have a whole bunch of pages with subpages and a lot of great information. So that's number one. Number two is I think we need to consider that some of the cats that don't use their litter box have a behavioral issue, and some of the cats that don't use the litter box have a medical issue. And so we have to address, as veterinarians, it can be hard to address one without addressing the other and really sorting out which of the problems initiated the issue. Because cats, when they have a bladder problem, associate the pain that they have of using the litter box to urinate with the litter box. And so that becomes an aversion for a lot of cats. So I think first and foremost, if your cat is having a litter box issue and you've run through the things that we're going to talk about tonight about behavioral issues, that you don't make the assumption that this is, oh, my cat's just being evil. You really need to associate this with the possibility of a medical problem and see your veterinarian for your analysis, for an ultrasound or an x-ray, something to image the bladder, and make sure that you're not inappropriately thinking that it's a behavioral issue when it might be a medical issue.
Interesting. Okay. See, this is me learning all about kitties, cats.
Well, and, you know, dogs have behavioral issues associated with urination as well.
Of course they do, but they don't not go pee because, you know, it hurts to go pee outside. I don't know. It's a different way of thinking about it. So
it is, but one of my former dogs, when she had a bladder infection, she's passed away now, but that was a long time ago. When she would have a bladder infection, instead of urinating on the floor, she would get into the pantry and tear up packages of stuff in the middle of the night. And I finally figured out that it was associated with her bladder infection. And apparently she just got frantic and didn't want to urinate anywhere on the house, on right. the floor. And so she went to the pantry, and I don't know if she was trying to get my attention or if she was frustrated or so. Again, let's not right. make any assumptions about whether we have a behavioral issue or a medical issue until you have had your veterinarian check out blood, urine, all the stuff, because some of these dogs and cats are kind of secretive about their health problems. They don't tell us. If dogs and cats could talk, it would be a whole different world. And I'm not sure if AI can start talking for them if I really want that to happen.
No, I don't.
Because I'm pretty sure they're going to swear at me for some of the things that I do.
Well, you know, I'm pretty sure that both cats and dogs swear at us when they pee in our shoe. Like, I'm pretty sure that is the F-bomb from the dog.
That is not an accident. And that's the other thing is people say my dog had an accident. I'm like, no, he had it on purpose. Sometimes they do have accidents. If they have a bladder infection, they can't wait. They can't hold it. It's uncomfortable. The same with the cat. Mm-hmm. It may not really be an accident. It may have been on purpose. But we like to call it an accident because that sounds much nicer than my dog deliberately urinated in my shoe. And I've had dogs at the dog show do that. The male dogs will lift their leg on me.
On my leg.
Leg and into my shoe. Yeah, that's why you wear washable shoes.
Well, you know, I'm pretty sure that the baby puppy Clumber at the Clumber National that was really excited to see me and peed on my leg didn't aim. It just kind of...
No.
And you just know, kind of was kind of... adventure.
So if a cat is really stressed, they may urinate during the office visit or during travel to the vet and back and so forth. But they don't have that kind of... Cats don't do that
excitement,
excited urination thing.
Right.
Cats just don't do that. So if your cat's doing something like that, you really need to go to the vet because something's wrong.
Okay. So we got a little bit chasing the squirrels down the rabbit hole, you know.
But I kind of want to frame this.
No, this is good. So cats are supposed to potty in their litter box. Let's assume that you've shown them the litter box, that they have normally done it there, or where are we starting in this process?
Well, let's start with kittens.
Okay.
So kittens are pretty naturally fastidious and they do want to use a litter box. And puppies actually, you know, we don't want to get too far down that road, but puppies will do the same. I have puppies right now that will reliably use a litter box. So inherently dogs and cats want to be neat and clean and not just urinate randomly in strange places. So if you get a baby kitty, you want to make sure that they have a litter box that has a short enough side that their little tiny legs can get them up over the lip of the litter box. Because sometimes people, well-meaning people, buy a litter box that's appropriate for an adult cat and the little baby kitten cannot traverse that big ledge to get into the box. So they do make some with cutouts. You can get short ones and you don't even actually have to use a litter box. You can use any kind of a pan that can hold litter and is not absorbent. So let's start with the basic premise of you need to teach your kitten to use the litter box. They will try to, but they may not always know how to. So you want to make sure that you've got one that they can get into and one that has litter that they actually appreciate and like. So I think that's a basic premise. Different kinds of litter are on the market now. There's a whole array of different kinds of litter. They make the clumping litter, which I think is probably currently the most popular. You look like you don't know about company litter.
I know nothing about anything. I am literally this is my serious student face.
Okay. So in the old days, clay litter was pretty much what we had. They're little irregularly shaped gray pieces of cat litter that are made out of clay. That was traditionally for many years what everybody used. And then we started seeing yesterday's news, which is recycled newspaper come as pellets that can be used for litter. And those are great for post-op patients that you're concerned about getting cat litter stuck to something. We can do corn cob litter. We see soybean litter. We see clumping litter. We see plastic litter that's non-absorbent. So there's a whole array of different kinds of litter.
Wild.
The clumping litters are pretty much the most popular, and what's great about them is that when the cat goes in and urinates or defecates, the clumping litter forms a nice, firm little ball. They've gotten much better with the kind of clumping litters that we have now over what they were originally. You just scoop it out, throw it away, and then the rest of the litter stays intact because the rest of the litter box doesn't get soiled, doesn't smell bad, doesn't have other stuff in it. So you don't have to dump the litter and change the whole box and wash out the box and all the stuff on a daily or weekly basis like we did when we only had clay litter. But they also make some litters, clay and clumping and a number of other ones, that have a scent or fragrance in them. And those fragrances are for the humans, not for the cats.
I am in favor of that. Just
yeah, but cats are not.
Oh,
cats are not. And so we'll see some cats that have an aversion to the litter because they don't like the smell of the fragrance or the perfume that's in it. So if you've ever been in one of those bathrooms, latrines, outhouses, whatever, and they've either got a very bad smell or they've tried to cover up the very bad smell with something else, you know exactly what I mean. Yeah. Like, I will try really hard not to use an outhouse because I really find them to be unappealing. Mm. And if you're that kind of person, like the guys don't mind as much when they're at a football game because they drank six beers, but I personally don't like them. They don't flush and they don't have running water to wash my hands. I'm really not a fan. And our cats kind of feel the same way. Not that they wash their hands, but the cats feel the same way about smelly litter. And so the litter may smell bad because of urine, it may smell bad because of feces, or it may smell bad because whoever manufactured the litter put something in it that they thought they were going to fool the cat into believing that it smelled good, and it doesn't. So if you're having some struggles with the cat, probably the first place to start is I will put out multiple litter boxes with different substrates in them. So you can put out a clumping litter that's unscented. You can put out plastic litter. You can put out corn cob, soybean, you know, whatever clay, whatever clumping you want, and just line up 3, 4, 5 litter boxes and let your cat vote with its feet and tell you, this is the litter I like the best. This is the one I like the feel of. This is the one I like the smell of. This is the one that I like walking around on. So this is the box I want to use. And you may have multiple cats in your household that have different preferences, which makes it a little more complicated, is that not everybody likes the same thing. My mother-in-law used to have a cat that would urinate in one box and defecate in the other box. Yeah. So we all have our thing.
Fascinating. All fascinating. Again, completely outside my wheelhouse. How does one convince a baby kitten to go and know that it has to go potty and put it in its litter box so it will go potty there? I mean, I know how to do this with a puppy. I do not know how to do this with a kitten.
It's pretty much the same, but as soon as they wake up, you put them in the litter box. As soon as they eat, you put them in the litter box. As soon as you move them, you put them in the litter box. Anytime anything happens, you put them in the litter box. Hopefully they will urinate or have a stool while they're there, and then they start to make that association. So it doesn't take very long. Kittens, like I said, are pretty fastidious. They prefer to have a clean environment. So they'll almost automatically do it if they can get to the box. And that's the other thing that a lot of people make a mistake of, is the American home is not designed to have a litter box in it. There is no good room to put it. You don't want to put it in your kitchen or your laundry room or your bathroom or your bedroom or the, you know, whatever. And so people put them in the basement. And the cat, especially if it becomes elderly and it has a hard time going up and down the stairs, the cat's like, I'm out, man. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to use the litter box on this floor, which may not be a litter box at all. It may be your laundry basket or your bathtub. And so the cat may not be willing. Yeah, your shoe. Whatever's convenient. I had a lady in today whose cat urinated on a bridesmaid dress. That was kind of a problem.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The good news is she was getting rid of it. The bad news is it was a bridesmaid's dress, which cat urine has its own special characteristics, and you really can never get rid of the smell. So this is definitely a problem for a lot of people. So I take this seriously, because like I said, this is the number one behavior problem that we see in cats. So you want to make sure that you're providing a location that the litter box is appropriate as well. So a lot of people use a laundry room. They'll use a bathroom because that's already kind of a, you know, place that might not be as offensive if you're in the bathroom and the cat comes in. You know, you're in the bathroom, the cat's in the bathroom, everybody's doing their thing. But the kitchen, you know, that's not a good place. And there's just not a house that I've ever been in that really felt like the cat litter box kind of fit in there.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that it's a place that the cat knows about, can get to, that the door doesn't accidentally get closed. Even if it's in the basement, the cat can't get downstairs because somebody closed the door and there's not a cat hole in the door to get down to the stairs. And so then we blame the cat for not using the litter box when what were they supposed to do if they couldn't get there?
Right.
Or they have another cat in the house that dominates and lays in the hall and says, you're not coming down the hall. I don't care what you think you're coming for. You not getting past the troll. And then the cat doesn't use the litter box because the other cat aced him
out.
Yeah. So there's a lot of reasons that are not necessarily easy to solve that explains why cats don't use their litter box. So we really have to take a very global look at what's happening in the household. Are there other cats? How many boxes do you have? Where are the boxes? What kind of litter are you using? What kind of litter box are you using? All these different nuances to this. So it's not a just simple thing of saying, here's a litter box.
Okay. Scary cat, I definitely did not have on my bingo card.
Oh, no. And this is a real thing. I've been in a couple of behavior courses that are a week long, and we've sat down and watched videos of cats in the household interacting, and there are definitely trolls. There are definitely cats that will say, I'm not letting you get to the food dish. I'm not letting you go to the litter box. I'm just going to lay here in the hall or in the bedroom or around the corner and pounce on you if you try to do what a normal cat should be able to do.
Cat bullies.
Oh, it's a thing.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
So the general rule of thumb is one litter box per cat plus a spare. So if you have three cats, you should have four boxes. If you have five cats, you should have six boxes. That's a general rule of thumb, and you probably can't have too many litter boxes. So like I said, my mother-in-law's cat wanted one for urinating and one for defecating. So if you have a cat like that, you may need more than one per cat. So just kind of be aware that that's the situation. And they can be all lined up next to each other as long as they're convenient and the litter smells good and the litter is clean. And the litter isn't too deep. That's another mistake a lot of people make, is they want to make it more convenient for themselves so they don't have to dump the litter or scoop the litter as often. So they put extra litter in the box. Well, cats don't like to sink into their litter. If they sink in more than about an inch, they're like, I'm out. If the litter is dirty, they're I'm out. If you see your cat perched with all 4 feet on the edge of the litter box, like it won't touch the litter, you need to pay attention to that. That is not your cat doing some kind of an acrobatic cute trick. That is your cat saying to you, I'm not touching the litter because it's icky, stinky, smelly, gross, dirty, too deep, something. I don't like the texture. So look at what your cat's doing and really make those observations about other cats in the house, behavior in the litter box, behavior out of the litter box, texture preferences. Some cats really just have texture preferences. They don't like the way certain kind of the litter feels, but they like the way fabric feels. So they urinate on the bridesmaid's dress. So those are all really important things when you're making these observations to make note of and discuss with your veterinarian or your behaviorist or both about what's going on with the litter and the litter box and the cats and the other things in the house, the other dynamics that are happening. Because it's not just, here's a litter box, here's some cat litter, go for it, good luck.
So talk to me about my understanding of cats is what I see on TV. So talk to me about those cat litter boxes where it scoops itself.
Oh,
the little egg-shaped ones where the kitties go inside and do their little kitty business and then look around like, I'm so cool. Talk to me about that.
Those are very cool. They come in different shapes and different sizes. Some of them now have Bluetooth on them, so you can know when your cat used the litter box. You can see the video of when your cat used the litter. You can see the urine. You can see the stools. It's great. And they do have a delay on them so that the cat doesn't go in and have it activate and start moving while the cat is still in it. The downside to it is if one cat goes in and then the next cat comes in and there wasn't enough of a delay for the second cat or the third cat or the fourth cat to use the litter box, then that can become an aversion as well. But they're pretty great. They clean themselves. They have, you know, all kinds of cool devices that go with them. You know, like I said, Bluetooth and video and
I'm familiar with Brilliant Pad, you know, from the puppies, and it's one of our sponsors here. And my understanding is that they come from that cat magic litter box space. So.
Right. And litter boxes can cost $800 if you get the fancy schmancy Bluetooth video camera, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. I know, but if you have...
Just my eyes bugging out of my head, for those of you who are not on YouTube.
But if you have a bunch of cats, it can be a great way to handle the situation because it's always clean. You're not having to run in there every time the cat uses the box and patrol it and make sure that everything is okay. So they're actually pretty great. And they're also nice for people that have been advised by their physicians not to handle cat litter because they may have a medical condition. So again, that's something to be aware of. When my niece was treated for her medical condition, that was the recommendation, is that she got a self-cleaning litter box. So they have some advantages. Mm-hmm. It's actually kind of cool. Now, cats that don't go outside and never catch a mouse don't have toxoplasmosis and cannot transmit toxoplasmosis to pregnant women or people who are immunocompromised. So that's something to be aware of.
I just sort of assume, okay, that's fascinating. Okay.
Yeah. But it's actually pretty cool if you have something like that. Now, I used to work for a veterinarian who thought for many years he was allergic to cats. And it turned out he was allergic to cat litter. So this is where some of these things can come into play too, is that different substrates of litter can make it easier for people that have allergens to be able to have a cat in their home, is that it may make a difference. So we used to use shredded newspaper instead of cat litter in the practice, but that was a very long time ago when the only kind of cat litter we had was clay, and that was what he was allergic to. So again, this is a very interesting topic with lots of little holes that we can go down. So, you know, I don't want to get too lost, but do remember that that's the case. And the other cool thing about cats, if you have an allergic reaction to a cat, number one, is it the litter? Number two, now Purina makes a product called LiveWell that if you have a cat allergy, will reduce your allergic reaction to the cat's dander. So if you have someone
for
in your
family. For the cat or for me?
The people who are allergic to the cat, they feed the cat LiveWell Purina cat food.
Got it.
And the cat produces less allergens that make the people allergic to them.
Cool. That's amazing.
Yeah. So if you have somebody that says,
another
I can't have
shout
a cat
out to Purina. Well done.
Yeah. And I don't believe anybody else has made that type of diet. So if somebody says to you, I can't have a cat because I'm allergic, find out if it's the litter, find out if it's the cat, and then talk about the cat food, because it may be possible to have a cat in your home when you previously did not think that that was an option.
Crazy talk. Okay. So let's assume we have a good kitty that knows how to use its litter box and suddenly isn't.
You need to go to the vet right away. Yeah, right away. Especially if it's a male cat. Now, male and female cats get bladder problems, and it's not a bladder infection in most cases. Most of the cats that have bladder issues have what we now call FLUTD, it used to be called FUS, stands for feline lower urinary tract disease, FLUTD. It's not actually an infection because when we culture most of these cats, we don't grow any bacteria. And for years and years and years, people have tried to figure out if this is viral, if it's a mycoplasma, if it's what's going on. We do know that it is related to stress in some cats. So if they're stressed by a new cat in the house, a new baby in the house, that you put up the Christmas tree in front of the window where they usually sit, if any of those things that are stressful, now you may think the Christmas tree is cool. The cat may think it's stressful because now I can't sit in that window where I always sit and watch everybody outside. And now you put a tree there. What were you thinking? So anything that stresses the cat can initiate these bladder problems, but it's not technically an infection. And most of the time, antibiotics are not indicated. So that's where the problem becomes more complicated is, well, if I can't reach for an antibiotic and solve the problem, then what do we do? Right. And the answer largely is nutritional. For 40 plus years, we've known about cats with bladder disease, and we know diet manages it. It doesn't cure it, but it manages it. And there's a number of companies that make great products. Purina is one of them. Hill's is one of them. Royal Canin is one of them. And so these diets adjust the pH of the cat's urine, adjust the amount of phosphorus and magnesium in the diet, and adjust some other parameters in the cat food that will reduce these cats' problem. So it's almost always a nutritionally responsive disease. Now, male cats are at greater risk than female cats because they can become obstructed by the crystals that are formed associated with this bladder issue, this FLUTD. But if you go to the vet and they don't put your cat on an antibiotic, there's probably a good reason for that. They probably did a urinalysis. They didn't see bacteria. And so to be responsible with our antibiotic stewardship as veterinarians, we don't just slap everybody on an antibiotic.
Sure.
We do put everybody on a diet change to try and appropriately adjust this. And 50 to 80% of the cats with a bladder problem will have a recurrence if you aren't consistent with their diet. So what a lot of people do is they'll be like, oh, well, the prescription food costs more, so I'm not going to keep feeding it. Mm-hmm. Or you run out on a Sunday and you go to the store and you buy something else and the cat likes it, and so you keep feeding it. And then your cat has a bladder recurrence because 50 to 80% of them do. Mm-hmm. So the recommendation is to put them on these nutritionally appropriate foods. And the ones that are over-the-counter are not as tightly managed for the amount of phosphorus, the amount of magnesium, and the pH levels as the prescription diets. Okay. So does it cost more? A smidge more, you know, like a few cents a day more, but it's a whole lot less expensive than having your cat end up with a urinary tract obstruction, end up in the veterinary clinic, an emergency clinic over the weekend with a catheter and hospitalization and thousands of dollars of treatment. So I'm going to say don't squeeze your pennies when it comes to feeding the cat food that's appropriate if your cat has a bladder problem. Buy your coffee at McDonald's instead of Starbucks and get over it.
Pennywise, pound foolish on that one.
Exactly.
Okay. So the symptom that my cat has a problem is it's not urinating, or it's not urinating in its box, or both.
Yes. Yes. If a cat can't urinate, and it's almost always male cats, I've seen maybe two or three obstructed females in my career. It's almost always male cats, and it's almost always December to March. So it's very timely that we're doing this now, because in the wintertime, they have more problems. So if you're seeing your cat not urinating, that means you need to go to the emergency clinic yesterday. You can't wait. Once the cat can't urinate, they can become metabolically compromised and they can die within a day or two. So don't mess around with this. If it's a female cat, or the cat is urinating small amounts frequently in inappropriate places, you have time to go to the vet tomorrow. If your cat is eating, it doesn't have an obstruction. If you put food down and the cat won't eat, and you put fresh litter in the box and the cat goes in the box and doesn't produce urine, you need to go to the emergency clinic. If the cat is eating and urinating even dribbles, you're okay to wait until tomorrow in most cases. And then you go in, and they will probably want to image the bladder with ultrasound to collect a urine sample, see if they see any crystals or any stones in the bladder on the ultrasound. And if they see stones, they may want to take an x-ray and document the size of the stones, because it's easier to document those on an x-ray than it is on ultrasound. Then we put them on these diets. And I remember when we went to our first meeting that was put on by Hill's, when they said, we can dissolve bladder stones. And we went, yeah, oh, sure, right, right. You can take a rock, and these really are stones. They really are rocks. Right, right, you can dissolve a stone. Sure you can. Like, I can go to the river and a rock is just going to disappear, right? No, they truly do. With the right pH and the right nutritional components, they can truly dissolve bladder stones, dogs and cats. If they are struvite stones, if they're calcium oxalate, if there are other kinds of stones, they don't dissolve. But it's really cool. I just did this with a dog in September. She came in, she had bladder stones. We took an x-ray. We said, oh my gosh, there's a whole bunch of them. Put her on the right diet, put her on the right antibiotic. She came back 2 months later and the stones were gone, like gone.
Wow.
So it is incredible what we can do with nutrition if you are responsible and reliable about it. Now, if you sneak food to the cat, you give them the bowl of cereal after you have, you know, your milk and your cereal in the morning, or you give them the ice cream bowl to lick out, or you give them anything off the table, that negates everything. So don't, just don't. If you expect it to disappear, you have to be religious about the diet that you're feeding. But that's kind of the bottom line. The other thing that I think is new, and a lot of people may not know about, veterinarians generally will, is we used to say if we saw bacteria in the urine that the cat needed to be on an antibiotic. And now we say if we don't see an active sediment, so if we see bacteria but no white blood cells, your cat needs a diet change, but it doesn't need an antibiotic. And it's kind of in dogs too. Bacteria by itself does not dictate the use of an antibiotic. Bacteria with inflammatory cells, white blood cells, does. That tells you it's an active sediment. So if your vet, again, doesn't send home an antibiotic, you know, don't think that they're quacks. Right. Think that they are being responsible about their antibiotic use, and you probably don't actually need one. So cool stuff, right?
I love that. All new. We've discussed on the show before, my understanding of cats is that they're fluffy houseplants. So all additional information.
They move.
Occasionally they move, but they blink sometimes. All additional information to me is fascinating because I just don't know anything. So I hope that this is super useful for you guys, even if you have cats.
So bottom line, see the vet, follow their instructions, use the right diet, use the right kind of litter.
Pay attention to if they're peeing. Why isn't my cat going pee?
They make a plastic litter that my cats hated, so I didn't use it. But just ask your cat what they want for litter box size, shape, location. Ask them what they like for litter. They will tell you. Just listen to your cat, listen to your vet, and you're going to be fine.
Okay. So my cat said, meowdy, meowdy, meow, and it peed in my shoe. That means it doesn't like my litter. Got it.
Yeah. Listen to your cat.
Nailed it. Okay. Thanks so much, Marty. Everybody, keep an eye on your kitty pee, and we will be back with you next week.
Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog, to what your cat's cough means, and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are. In the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog. And we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc. Sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.